I'm going to talk to you a bit about that today, time, talent, treasure, we're going to touch on today. I'm going to preach kind of half a sermon, and then the second half of the sermon, we're going to get a few people up here to talk about their own experiences with time, talent, treasure, and generosity. So I thought about it this week, how do I launch this sermon, how do I talk about generosity? I thought, well, I've got to talk about myself as we start off about it, because the funny thing when you're a pastor, you want to help people grow in things, but you've also got to be able to talk about things yourself. Now, the problem for me when I talk about generosity is that I'm a professional Christian. I'm a professional Christian, okay? Most of you out there are amateur Christians. I'm a pro, right? I get paid to be a Christian, okay? As a pastor, I get paid to be a Christian. So I can't stand up here and say, look at, you know, I give money to the church and I give my time and, you know, I give my talent to the church. And then you turn around and say, yeah, but that's your job and you get paid a wage for that. So this is a bit of the problem for me. So I had to go way back earlier and think of, well, what was it like for me before I became a professional Christian, before I ever got a dollar to be at church. And the good thing is, and the good news for you, for me, is that, you know, I always gave my time, talent, treasure in a certain way to God, even before I became a pastor. But why did I give my time, talent, treasure to God? Why was I somewhat generous as a young man in my 20s in giving and resourcing God's vision? The reason I gave my time, talent, and treasure initially was because I wanted to prove to God that I was a good Christian boy. My motive was not the right motive. My reasons were not the right reasons. They were a little bit messed up. So I gave, yes. I was generous, so-called generous, yes. I have tithed of my income ever since I've earned an income. So I'm turned 41 in a couple of weeks. I've been tithing since I was 15. What a great principle. But that doesn't really matter if the motive isn't right, because God is about the heart. You know, it says in Proverbs 9, verse 10, I'm going to have to try and remember this off the top of my head because I don't have my notes yet. Oh, they've set me up. It says in Proverbs 9, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you remember that scripture? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the NIV. The NLT version says the fear of the Lord is the foundation of knowledge. I gave to God because I feared him. But there's two kinds of fear, right, when it comes to God. There's fear that is afraid, as in terror, as in I give to God because if I don't give to God, he is the God of the universe and he might smite me. He might throw, like Zeus, he might throw a lightning bolt at me and kill me if I'm not doing the right thing. But when Proverbs 9 talks about fearing God, it's not talking about being terrorized by God or giving because you're afraid of loss or you're afraid of judgment. No, it's talking about fearing the Lord out of reverence, out of love, out of respect, out of worship. And what God had to do in my heart as a young man is take me from a young man who generously resourced God's vision with my time, talent, and treasure because I was afraid of God, worried that I might not be a good Christian, and he had to change my heart that I gave my time, talent, and treasure to his kingdom and his work because I loved God. And I wanted to run to God, and I respected God, and there was reverence deep in my heart for God. Come on, computer, you can do it. Let's all pray for my computer. Dear Jesus, bring it to life. Your resurrection power. All right, here it comes. You have to give me the next slide. I can't remember what I was meant to say. Now I remember. I don't really need my notes. They're just there for security. Last week, I spoke with you about being generous to outsiders, and this is where generosity really, really finds its place. It's easy to be generous to your friends. It's easy to love those who sit next to you in church or go to life group with you who you've known for 20 years, but our faith in Jesus is really tested when it comes to outsiders. Maybe your neighbor in your street who doesn't care anything about your faith. Maybe somebody that you have in your family, and we all have these ones, don't we, that frustrate us or annoy us or we don't like and we always argue with and clash with. Generosity really is seen for what it is in our lives when it comes to somebody who's outside, who's unfamiliar, who's not our best friend, who's not our favorite person. And I spoke to you last week about the fact that our church is set up by God. Our great vision that God has given us is to think first of outsiders, not of insiders. That we would be a church that lives our lives for the people who aren't in the church yet. Is there any other organization in the world or business in the world or family in the world that operates like that? I don't think so. It requires the power of the living God to actually have an organization that can exist, not for its members and its paying tithers and its the people who rock up every Sunday, but to exist for something even more than that, to exist for people who aren't here yet who need to know the living God. And I showed you this slide really quickly last week. It's just a little circle of 7 kilometers around our new property over there in Botanic Ridge. And my projector person will click that slide right now to help me. There it is. And these are the 10 closest suburbs that are basically touching this property over there. Now, if you live outside of this circle, that's completely fine, because obviously the principle of reaching outsiders is not about where you live. You've got neighbors, you've got family, you might work with people in the city. So this is a principle for all of us. But it's really interesting when you break it down to this property that we're going to end up on one day. 171,739 people currently live, or the census of 2021 currently live in those 10 suburbs that are basically touching that little area there. It's really, really interesting. And you know, if you go by Christian church growth statistics, they'll tell you that in order to effectively reach the community that your church is in, you need about one church per 1,000 people in a community. So can anyone do the maths on that really quickly? One church per 1,000 people in the community. That means how many churches do we need? 171 churches in that area. Do you know how many churches are probably in that area, just off the top of my head? Probably 20, maybe 25. It's 171 churches just for the gospel, just for the good news of Jesus to reach that area. You know my favorite statistic about these suburbs? Botanic Ridge, so the one at the top there, and Lang Warren, out of all the municipalities or suburbs or towns in all of Australia, they were the highest no-religion suburbs. I looked it up this morning. Do you know how many suburbs and regions and towns there is in Australia? 15,000. And God has asked us to have a church out of the 15,000 towns and suburbs in Australia. He's asked us to put a church in the place that has the least people identifying as Christian in our entire nation. Botanic Ridge, where I actually live, was 54% no religion, where the average for Victoria was 39%. Also interesting about Botanic Ridge and Clyde as well is that there's more married people with young children in those suburbs, 59% and 65% in Clyde compared to 45% in Victoria. So you've got young people, you've got young families, you've got children, and you've got people who think religion is old-fashioned and they don't really care for it and they're not really interested in it. Botanic Ridge was also the fastest suburb in all of Australia to secularize between the census in 2016 and 2021. It had a 10% jump in people identifying as no religion. Curtis and Lyndall live in Botanic Ridge. Pete and Dee live in Botanic Ridge. We're like literally the only Christians in the whole of a Botanic Ridge. We come to this church. Like there's like four of us, okay? And this is what God has called us to. In this whole area across here, there's interesting, as I look deeper into it, there's three different kinds of groups. You've got young, rich, white people is a big group. Botanic Ridge, where I live, is 82%. Anglo-Aussie white, and they're tradies who have way more money than most people. They have boats, they have million-dollar houses, they work jobs, their wife is often a professional as well, and they make a lot of money, they go to Bali 7 times a year and all those kind of things. Also in that area, you've got the Aussie Battler, which is really interesting, especially in the Cranbourne area. You've got the original people who lived in Cranbourne before all the development. So they've been there for 40 years. They live in the same house for 50 years. Their 1960s brick veneer house, they live there. They're more blue-collar workers. They're your Aussie Battler types who are just pushing through life, struggling through, as many Aussies do. And then the other group, which is quite distinct, so there's three distinct groups in this area, is the migrant family. And a lot of the first homeowners, especially in Clyde, are more migrant families, maybe first or second generation. They've come to Australia. Education is very important, getting their children educated and into good jobs. And so when you head more out towards Cranbourne East and Clyde, you get 30% Hindu, Sikh, Islam or Muslim. So even the religious landscape actually changes as you go more in that direction. Why am I telling you all this? Because everything we do to resource the vision of God in this church is for those that are on the outside. And we need to understand who God has called us to reach. Amen? Now, this is very broad stroke, high level, but for you, it's just your neighbor, it's your mate at work, it's your friend, just opening up, sharing a little bit about your faith, not rushing, but just letting God lead you and speak to those people. And I asked you this question last week, what is it worth? What is it worth to reach outsiders? Because it might cost you your preference of worship songs. It might cost you a preference of what you would like to have at church that you might have to give up. But what is it worth? What is it worth to have your neighbor who you know needs to touch God sitting next to you in that chair on a Sunday? What is it worth to have your grandchild who used to come to church and doesn't come any longer? Your brother, your sister, your husband, wife who used to come to church doesn't come any longer. What is it worth to you? What would you give up? What would you sacrifice? What will you give that God could use you and me and us in order to touch our community? Because I know if it was my child that I was hoping was could return back to church, I would do anything to create an environment that they would be welcome, that they could find God, not religion, that they could have an encounter with Jesus, not with some weirdo Christian saying some weird odd stuff that's just going to help them stumble over things. What would it be worth? It's easy to say outsiders, but what would it be worth for your family member, your cousin, your spouse, your friend to actually have a church they could come into where they could find Jesus? Before we get the panel up here today, I want to just touch on generosity for a moment. What is generosity? And ultimately, is God generous? It says in John 3:16, the famous scripture, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son." Everyone say, "He gave." He gave his one and only son. This is the generosity of God. This is the giving nature of God. So that everyone who believes in him, so believes in Jesus, will not perish but have eternal life. The generosity of God is shown in his grace freely given to undeserving sinners. The very good news about Jesus that we live for, that we gather for on a Sunday is this. It's that God is generous. The very core of the gospel, the very core of Jesus Christ who we follow is this, that he is a generous God who gives everything. Philippians 2 tells us about how Jesus stripped himself of his divinity, of his right to be God, of his position in the heavens, of his power. He stripped all of that and humbled himself and came all the way down to earth to become a regular human being. Can you believe that? This is the generous heart of God. He didn't sit in his throne in heaven and try and fix the world or try and give us a shortcut answer to freedom and salvation. No, he came down himself. He got his hands dirty. He got in the trenches with us. He sweated alongside of us. He ate alongside of us. He lived alongside of us. He dealt with all the temptations of this world, all the struggles of life, all the difficulties of relationships. He did all of that by his grace and his mercy and his great love in order to give us undeserving sinners, us who are hostile to God, who hated God, who didn't believe in anything, who didn't want to be helped, who were greedy and hoarders and wanted to keep everything to ourselves, he came down and by his grace generously gave of his life, not so that he could receive anything in return. You know, we are taught to navigate our life based on return on investment. And this investment language or this business language has now seeped into every part of our life, hasn't it? We talk about it with our time, with our leisure, with our exercise, with our money, with our work, with our university studies. Everything's a measure of return on my investment. The very crux of the gospel is that God gave, God invested, God sowed, and did not expect a return on investment. He gave with pure generosity, not in order to receive, but just he gave to give, not to receive. And that is the heart of generosity. What a great challenge that is to us. You know, generosity is not so natural. This is my daughter Nova here, and this is her basket, which I had to smuggle out the door this morning because she owns this and protects this with all of her life. This is her Easter basket, okay, from the beginning of the year, that she still carries around every single day, and she asks us every single day to hide eggs and chocolates around the house. This is still from April, guys, from way back at Easter, so that she can go around and collect eggs again. She absolutely loved it. I mean, she got it, the Easter egg hunt. The funny thing is, I was thinking about it this week, the funny thing with the Easter egg hunt is that Mum and Dad pay for the chocolates. Mum and Dad hide all the chocolates around. The kids go and get the chocolates and they love it. They love looking for them. They love eating chocolates. They love the whole experience. They don't pay for any of the chocolates. They don't get up early in the morning and hide the chocolates. They don't set up the whole family fun or any of that kind of stuff. The kids just have a free run by grace, enjoy all of it. We spend our money, we make the time, we do the planning, all of those things just to look at our kids and see, you know, the happiness in their face and them eating chocolates and having a bit of fun in the backyard as they chase it around. Look at it, I'm full of chocolates here. I've got Kit Kats, I've got blocks of chocolate, all kinds of things. And then what happens at the end of the Easter egg hunt? Can Daddy have one? Could Daddy have a chocolate? Do you want to give one to Daddy? Daddy would basket overflowing, which way more than a three-year-old could eat. No. Nova's little thing is she says, me mine. That's how she talks. Me mine. This is a great example. If you want to get honest with me this morning, now I know you're adults and you're generous now and that. No, you're not. You're still like a toddler. You're just better at covering up your lack of generosity, right? I think a toddler gives away where our hearts often are really at. This is what it's like. God gives us everything. He sets up everything. He rewards us. He wants to see the joy on our face. But then he comes and he says, you know, basic tithing principle. Just give 10% of everything I've given you. Just give 10% back. Not because God needs your money, but because God wants to help you become a generous, abundant, giving, self-sacrificing person. And we go, no, me mine. We want to hold it to us. Even though I gave everything to my daughter, she doesn't want to share. And then you have to coax a chocolate out of her and you have to talk about why she should give you one and Daddy bought them really. And then you just, in the end of the day, have to go into their bed at night when they're asleep and take the chocolate that you need. Which I have never done, by the way. No, everyone's quite aware that I have a weak spot. It's my Achilles heel, okay? Chocolate. So I do sneak in there sometimes and steal them. Generosity can be transformative. And I want to finish with this and then we'll get the panel up this morning. Generosity can be transformative. If there's anything that can change your heart or God can use your heart, it's your ability to give time, treasure, talent. In 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, it says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your own heart how much to give of your time, your talent, your treasure to God, to his kingdom. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves those who give cheerfully. And this is such an important scripture this morning, because the last thing we would want, Dan would want sharing, me sharing today and over the next few weeks, is you to feel that this is some church grab for money, some talent recruitment drive. This is the opposite of our heart. And that's why I have to share this scripture this morning, because I think this is the key scripture when it comes to generosity. First and foremost, it's not about your material possessions or your cash. It's about your heart. And generosity is not about how you perform or how you behave or how you look on the outside. Like me as a young man giving to God because I was afraid of him. No, generosity is about your heart and about you coming to a place where you so respect the creator of the universe and you have so overwhelmed with gratitude that God has given you a husband, he's given you a house, he's given you a job, that you see everything that you have is coming from him. Therefore, to sow back a little bit into his great work of the kingdom or to give a little bit to your neighbor or your friend who needs something is nothing to you, because you have this healthy relationship with time, treasure, talent, because your heart is right with God. When your heart is right with God, your money will be right with everyone else. When your heart is right with God, your time will be spent in the right places for the sake of the gospel. God loves a cheerful giver. But God also, and I hope you didn't miss the point here, God also knows that those who sow only a little will reap only a little. That's the sowing and reaping principle. But he also knows that those who sow a lot generously will reap generously. And who is God to leave us in the lurch? That if you sow in with your heart and if you give of your life, who is God to leave you in the lurch? He does not do that. Generosity unleashes abundance, not the other way around. Generosity unleashes abundance in your life, not the other way around. Abundance does not turn you into a generous person. This is the lie that we are sold in our culture. Once I have, then I will give. Once I attain to a position, then I'll be a philanthropist. Once I get to that place that I was aiming for in my life, then I'll slow down and I'll live for God and I'll put time into my children. This is a lie that we are sold, that when we reach success, then all of a sudden some kind of generous giving, you know, some kind of good dad, mum, will all of a sudden just pop out of us when we finally get that job or we finally get through that project or we finally get enough money. The Bible teaches a very different story. It's the other way around. Jesus actually said, it's better to give than to receive. Now, I don't know about you, but my toddler Nova, when she gets those Easter eggs, there is nothing in her that is saying it's better to give than receive. Her mindset is a scarcity mindset, that if I get these chocolates and keep these chocolates, then that's all I'm going to have. The minute I give one chocolate away, I will never have that chocolate again. The economy of God is completely different. The more chocolates that you give away, the more abundant of chocolates that you will receive. Isn't this a great metaphor today? Because you're all obsessed with sugar and chocolate, so you're going to understand this really, really well. Let's invite Mark, Dell, and Jack up here. Give these guys a round of applause as they come forward. If we can have the next slide up, just to remind you that this is really what we're going after. We want to resource the vision of God. You know, God will build his church, Jesus will build his church, but he wants us to partner with him. You don't partner by sitting in a seat on a Sunday. You partner with your time, your talent, your treasure, and these guys are going to talk to us a little bit about that. So, thank you. All right, the first question is, that's where I'll use this. For you guys, why do you give your time, talent, treasure? Over the next few weeks, we want to get people up to actually doing this and living this. So it's not just me teaching some stuff, but it's some real people sharing some real experiences. And I appreciate you guys for getting up, because it can also be a little bit embarrassing talking about yourself. But I'd really ask them just to share honestly, and then you guys can gossip about them later, and that's fine. So, no, we wouldn't do that in here. So why? Why do you give? Why do you sow of your time, talent, treasure?
Jack said he wanted to go first, so no. Well, for us, we've almost 12 months ago we moved back to the Frankston area. Hey, we did. I promise. From
That's
the city,
approval, be,
yeah,
okay,
cool. I just got getting excited. From the city, we lived up there for 7 years, and we were just coming down, probably, maybe twice a month to church. But as soon as we moved back down, we were like, it just felt like we were home again. And for us, home is a really important thing for our family. We love having people visit our home. We love entertaining in our home. We love people feeling at peace, at rest. And hopefully connecting with that peace of Jesus to then help them move closer and closer in a relationship with Him. And so coming back to Discover Church, for us it was coming home, and that's why we serve, that's why we give our time, our treasure, our talent, because it's home. So we want people to come in. I'm happy to give my time, my treasure and talent so that when people come in that they can connect with the peace and love of Christ and come in step by step into a closer relationship with Him.
And what's the main way you're kind of doing that at the moment in the church? What are you doing?
Yeah, I was just up here. So for the main way for me is worship. I've played guitar since I was 5. Back in the day when I first came into Discover Church in 2008, we had like 6 guitarists, so I wasn't needed. And so I just never really played guitar, but then coming back, we had 1 guitarist, Denzel. And yeah, I was asked, do you want to help out? And as soon as I started helping out, I was like, oh, I really have a passion for worship. I need to... I'm happy to give of my talent, and not just give of my talent, but develop it. So I spend a couple of hours a day now trying to work on it as well. So,
and I think that's a great point, Mark, when it's a difference between just helping out and being on a roster. And that's really not what we want. We don't want people helping and just, plugging a hole, but actually people finding, well, what is their calling? What is their passion? What is their talent? So how is that different for you?
Yeah, I guess it becomes, I guess it's around the generous, being cheerful in it. I love worshipping. I love worshipping with this worship team. I love seeing the different team members develop and grow, new team members coming in. There's plenty of you around here that have already had pressure put on by me to jump back in, but it's more just I love the people who've said yes and seeing them come alive, coming back into worship, because such an awesome opportunity to come here and just worship God and hopefully bring others with you.
That's great.
So, yeah, rather than just, I could just play guitar and I could just rock up every week at the last minute and just play and it'd be okay, but I want people to enter into the presence of God through worship.
That's right. Yeah. Because there's a difference between having a talent and developing a talent.
Yeah.
To really use it for God, which is great. So, what about you, Jack? Why do you give in these ways?
Yeah, it's probably twofold. The first reason would really be because I've been given to. Like, there's people in this church who helped me get to where I am today, and I could look at them and say their names, but I wouldn't be where I am in the job that I am, living the life that I am, being saved by Christ without those people in my lives. So there's a real clear, I guess, when it comes to Discover Church, like I'm here because of the people here in this room and the people who have sowed to me in the past. And there's a part of me that just wants to give back now. And I just want to sow into all these young people's life. I want to do everything I can because I know that I'm blessed and I know that I've been given to. So that there's that part for sure. And I'm so grateful and thankful. And I want to give my time, everything that I'm good at and my money to that. And then the second part, I think as well, and this is probably the more spiritual and faith part, is I just really believe in what God's doing here, what God wants to do in reaching the people outside of this room, in reaching the young people's life, in youth and young adults and kids' church. I want to see young people meet Jesus. And I was really moved and touched. We talked about it in our life group last week about Caleb's little story, how he woke up in tears last week when he had his surgery and said, if only young people knew Jesus, it would change their lives. And I really believe that. Like, so we need Jesus and we need him to change our lives and transform us and save us. And I just really believe that. So I want to be here and I want to sow to what God's doing for the young people here.
Fantastic. I love it. Dale, what's it for you?
I think just reflecting as these guys speak too was, for me, you know, I was really blessed that I grew up in church my whole life, and quite a few different churches actually. But I think what really impacted me, particularly in my young married life on a farm in the country, was the way the whole church community gave to create whatever that was needed. And there was a whole beautiful way to bring your time and talents and giving. And so I think that that really carved something quite deep in me over that time. And so it becomes a bit of a natural thing for me, I suppose, that I really don't think not to, I suppose. I really love it, and sometimes I get tired, for sure, but I love it. And it's something that I know that it's just placed on my heart to do, because you see the need and see what's to be done, and it's ultimately for God's kingdom.
That's great. And Dell is, you know, and I know many of you know her well, but she's just one of these people that's very mature in her faith in this way, that you barely even have to ask. She takes initiative. She sees what needs to be done in the house of God. She sees what people need. She's always willing. And I think something that's really special with people like yourself, Dale, is you're very approachable. You know, because a lot of people, it's like, it'd be great if they could help, or maybe they've got a skill, but you think, how do you position the conversation? And how do I, like, you know, help them see it's a good thing to do for God? It's not me trying to ask or force. But someone like Dale, like, you're just open, you're agreeable.
It's easy to do, and I think that that's really powerful, because that's not something that's just a personality trait over time, and that you've grown in, and that you've made a real principle and value in your life. And you know, thanks for sharing, all three of you. You know, that's the good stuff, the great stuff. But like, let's get honest. Is there anything that in these three areas that you struggle with? Do you find one of them particularly hard? You know, there's lots of people sitting there that are like, I could probably grow in some of these areas. Like, what's it like for you, Dale? Is there an area here that you want to develop in, or that you find most challenging?
Gosh, there's so many really, but that's our journey with Christ, is growing in all aspects of this. And really, to be honest, though you often know me as the event lady, and we had the Passover and various events during the year, and that's part of my role here as well, and have had many years of doing that kind of thing, but really not really seeing it as a particular talent, really. And really, it was really my lovely life group, Juliet's here and Isabel, and they really had to pull me into line actually on Wednesday night. So, you know, it actually is a talent, and I was reminded, you know, I really thought about that going home afterward, and I often think about the scripture, you know, when Moses was called and God said to him, you know, what's in your hand? And, you know, he had a rod, like he wasn't an eloquent speaker or anything, but he had this rod, and God called him, and you know, so I really think, well, this is what God's placed in my hand. And so whilst it can seem like it's a natural thing for me, I do have to, like Mark mentioned, work really hard at it and know that it's something that I love to do, but it's not always easy, and you know, I have to hone that skill. So, but know that is in my hand.
It's fantastic, yeah. Because many people have talents too, like even in the workplace, maybe skills they've developed over time and a professional career, and you know, university studies, and there's things there as well that God, all of that stuff, God wants to use for His glory. And it's not just about the church, that's one aspect, but it's the kingdom of God, it's using things for his glory. And I think the more people can understand what you're saying there, Dale, that God has given you talents or gifts or even passions. You know, sometimes you're not good at something, but you study it, you grow the skill, you work at it. All of that we want to use for his glory. So what about for you, Jack?
I agree with Dell. I think that we are on a journey on all three of these things, and I can see ways that my time, talent and treasure all need to grow and all need to be a bit better at. But in reflection, I think probably what's probably the sticking out to me the most is the treasure and is the money side of things. Many of you probably know, some of you might not, as I recently got married about a month ago which was fantastic, amazing, love it, highly recommend. But I married a beautiful woman who is really, really generous. And she's generous in all that she does with her money, with her time, with her talent. And we went through our budget together really recently. And we've paid back all our debts from the wedding and everything like that. And we're yet to see, I guess, the fruit of a dual income, no kids. Like we haven't seen that just yet. But I was just challenged so much with Olivia, that's who I married. I was challenged because we really want generosity to be a part of a principle in our marriage, a principle in our life, and something that we do from the get-go. So we tried our best to set aside a budget, I guess, to be generous with. So even though it's like practical, little, whatever, it was like if we can set aside, you know, 5%, 4%, 6%, something like that, of our dual income to be generous to others with, to give in offerings to any time churches or something comes up that God prompts us to do. We just have this money that we can say, yes, God, like we'll be generous, we'll do that, we'll give our money, we'll give our time, we'll give our talent. But it's hard. Like, heaps of you know, like, finances have changed massively. Fuel's so expensive, food's so expensive. Like, I expected things to be cheaper and easier with a dual income, but they're not. But what's a principle that's going to stay in our marriage and something that we're going to do is we're going to be generous with our money, even when it's tight, even when it's hard, because I believe in that heavenly principle.
That's good. It might be one less pair of shoes for you if you want to be generous.
One less pair of jeans.
These tight economic times, yeah. But for you, Mark, what do you feel like you're growing in?
For me, it's also treasure. So my wife and I both run our own businesses, and when it comes to tithing, it was so easy when I was on a wage, because your wage had come in and then, okay, here's my wage, here's my tithe, away we go. And when you run your own business, it's like, oh, here's a payment. Oh, I need to pay these bills and I need to do these things. And then it's all gone and I'll give a little bit here and I forgot it that next week. I'll make up for it in a bit. And I'd found that it had really gotten out of hand and gotten away from me. And I'd been working through trying to figure out, well, how do I make this work? Maybe when I withdraw income from my business, I'll tithe off of that each time. So I've pulled out a couple of $100 to pay for this here. So then that's a tithe of $25 there. And I was trying to work it all out in my head. And I'd been spending a fair bit of time with God this week on it. And he's just like, he brought me back to when we plan for our businesses, we look at, well, what do we believe we're going to get in profit this year? What are we? And we would set a whole heap of goals that was all faith-based. Okay, I believe that this is going to happen. We spend time in prayer with God around building our businesses. And God said, well, why don't you do that with your tithing? Why don't you do that with your giving to me? You're happy to be faith-based in your business, but not in your generosity towards me, our house, the vision of Discover Church. I was like, ooh, okay. Ouch, yep, got you. So it's as simple as, okay, God, all I need to do is, well, this is what I'm believing for in the business, which means that this is what my tithes would be based off of that. So I'll just start giving that first instead of giving that after. And it just was more, it's not giving so that we can have a business that goes crazy cocoa bananas. And I think the abundance thing for me is more abundance in the vision of our family, our house, our church.
That's great.
Rather than I give so that I can increase my income.
Yeah.
But it's also just realigning everything to be faith-based first, to be God's prioritized in my business first. So I'm going to believe that every month this is how much, based on what I'm believing our profit will be for the business.
Right, I love it. It's a great challenge with the business stuff, because a lot of people run small businesses or have odd incomes at different ways, and yeah, you really got to prayerfully consider that. Just quickly as we finish off, Dan launched today with a bit of the giving campaign and stuff like that. How did you, if you're happy to be honest with us, like what did you think? What was your first impression? Or what do you think people would find good, bad, ugly about that? You know, it can be challenging talking about money in church, but we really want to be a church where money isn't a taboo subject, but it's actually a discipleship and spiritual growth benefit. So, thoughts?
Okay. For me, based off of what I just said, it was a little bit of a, ooh, why do I need to be reminded to get this sorted out? It's like a big priority. Like, I'm showing where my priorities are lying at the moment with my business, so I need to get that sorted. But then I started thinking, okay, well, let's say if that is sorted, what can God do? And often people, when they're asked, well, if money was no hindrance, what would you do with your life? And it's got me thinking, well, if money was no hindrance to discover church, what could we do in our community?
Amen.
That's really good. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm going to do everything to make sure I'm not that hindrance when it comes to that, because you think of the hundreds of thousands of people that are living there and moving there. If money was no hindrance to us, how could we reach them for the gospel?
That's great. Love it.
I thought that.
That's why Mark went first.
Yeah, that's good.
it was actually Jack's thing.
Yeah, I told him before, actually. I probably just thought, man, I can't wait to talk in my life group about this. Okay. I can't wait to see what all of my friends and the people around me think about money, think about giving, think about tithing, and how are we going to set up a place where there isn't a judgment, there isn't a pressure, but it is really coming from like a joy and a cheerfulness and a generosity side of us. And how am I going to, in my life group, make everyone feel, hopefully feel that way and feel in a way that they're challenged. Like, well, I want to challenge my friends. I want everyone to grow, and I want to grow. I want to be challenged too in these things, and I am challenged by these things. But I don't want there to be guilt or anything like that. I don't want anyone to feel guilt by reading this flyer and like, oh man, I missed it. Like, I don't want people to feel that way. I want people to be like, yes, God, I'm going to sow into this church. And yes, God, I'm going to sow into what the vision is. So those were probably my thoughts.
Love it. Love it.
I was probably a little bit nervous because I knew the sheet was coming out. And I'm like, oh, what's everyone going to think? You know, the money talk. But also, I think a little bit excited because, you know, I hope that we are a people and a place that can really be quite natural around our money and free and find a real liberty in that, you know, and that we can sort of cast off old beliefs and experiences and, you know, and there's probably many, you know, from past churches and all sorts of things that can come and conjure up. But to really, it's a great opportunity to shake some of that stuff off and, you know, what are the beliefs that we might hang on about money? You know, is it a tender spot in us? It's definitely been a tender spot in me over the last few years. And so it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be challenged. It's a good thing to bring it up and to, you know, to be prompted and really just allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. You know, it is your faith journey. It's my faith journey in this time.
Amen. That's really good. Really good. Why don't we stand up together this morning? I might just ask these guys, seeing they've shared so well, just to maybe pray a prayer over the church, over you. Just really encourage you, let's just close our eyes. And as you close your eyes, I just really want you to open your heart to God, because God wants to help us in this area. He wants to grow us in this area. We're saved by grace, and that grace doesn't stop after salvation. It's still, we need his grace to give. We need his grace to be generous. Everyone, I think, in their heart of hearts wants to grow into a generous person, but it's quite a challenge, and we really need God to move in our hearts. And so just open up your hearts today, and I'll just ask these guys, if Mark, you can lead us off, just to pray a prayer over the church for the future and over all the families and people represented.
Yes, God, right now we just stand here believing for you to move unrestricted throughout Casey and Frankston, God. And God, we just are believing for great resources to come within the church from us and from outside, God, to be able to impact people's lives, to be able to have people encounter you, God, that there would be no restrictions, that finances wouldn't be restricting us, Lord, that our time wouldn't be restricting us, that our lack of talent wouldn't be restricting us, Lord God. Lord, that each and every one of us would just work on developing these three T's to be able to give for your kingdom to come here in Casey and Frankston, God. Thank you, God.
Heavenly Father, I just pray that we would hear your voice more. We would hear your vision and your hopes for this land, hopes for this church, and hopes for every individual here, Lord God, yes. That we would be so aware and it would be known to everyone in this room that we are a church who wants to be generous, yes. That we are a people who will be generous to everyone. I pray that there'll be testimonies and stories of generosity, yes. and God coming through with money, with time, with talent, Lord God. God, I pray that there will be an excellence here. There will be a spirit of just generosity, Lord, yes. God. I just pray that all in your name.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, it's for Christ who set us free, and he set us free indeed. And, you know, I just pray that freedom over everyone here, over, yes. myself, just a freedom and a liberty in our time, in our talent, and, yes. in our giving, that, yes. it is a free flowing thing and a free natural thing in our lives, that, yeah, as Jack said, that it is a freedom that we are known for, that it is our legacy, a place of full generosity, that we are generous beyond anything, and that generosity just flows out beyond our borders into the community and to those who most need it, and that is you, Lord God. Thank you for this word, and that it would nestle in everyone's heart here, that is a time for it to grow, for it to challenge in times, yes. To really speak to us all in Jesus' name.
Yes, just open your heart up this morning if you need a miracle, if you want to grow in this area, if you want to have a household that's generous, if you need a job, if you need financial breakthrough, if you need to adjust some things because of the economic squeeze at the moment. Let's ask you to open up your hands, open up your heart. Lord, we just pray, do miracles in our lives. Do miracles in our mindsets that are wrong, Lord, where we have family of origin issues where it comes to these things, Lord, where we're time poor, Lord, help us to see how to change our schedules, Lord God, where there's a talent gap and we need to grow or we want to grow, help us to understand how to move forward, Lord God, and change our hearts with money, Lord God. There's nothing that mirrors our life so well as money. It reveals everything about us and our values and who we are as a person, Lord, but let us not be afraid of you, let us not be afraid of it. Let us grow in it, Lord. Everyone who wants to grow, that they could grow. Everyone who wants to change, that they could change and mature in these areas, Lord God, we pray in your mighty name. Amen.